back again, and God, I can't believe half an hour is over with already. I think I'm going to be my usual long-winded self this time, and I apologize for it. I can't help it. It's in my nature. I don't know what to do about it. But anyway, back to this money thing, and you know, like I said, this is serious, because we're really in bad shape. So what I would like to ask, and I hope this isn't imposing or presuming too much, Jay, Mercy, Rich, if you happen to have any spare money on hand, I hope you will keep it on hand, because at some time in the very near future, the outpost may need a little bit of a shot in the arm, and you know, this could be just a loan. I mean, technically, what the outpost owes me is just a loan too, and you know, ideally someday I'll be paid back, and the same thing with mine. So I don't know what that means in your cases, but you know, we do have something good going here. And Jay, if you've got $100 to blow at a con, my God, or you know, $75 or whatever, you know, some of that might go good to the outpost. I don't know. See, the thing is this. We have two more issues to get out, 8 and 9. 8's going to be the problem. 9, not so much, because it'll be in combination with 8, and printing rates will be a lot cheaper for the number we take. However, I very much want to have a full-page ad in both TBG and Rocket's Blast, plugging both number 8 and number 9, which means two ads in each scene, full pagers. Good ads, good-looking, attractive, simple, concise ads, but full pagers nonetheless. And that's going to cost money. That's going to be about $50 each. You know, something like $38 for TBG, and I think it's $15 for Rocket's Blast, whatever. So that's $53 each. And, you know, that isn't exactly chicken feed. Jay, maybe you could steal Jonathan's pennies to help with that. I don't know, but, you know, like, we do need some help, and I need some help, too. I mean, I'm very, very broke right now. That's no lie. Okay, so anyway, that. The other thing, and this is related, which I want to bring up, electro stenciling may be nice, but not for the outpost. I mean, you know, for better or worse, we've backed ourselves into a position where, you know, we're constantly getting better production-wise. I mean, you know, aside from outpost number one, you know, number two was rather small, part offset, part mimeo. Same thing for number three. Number four was the first all offset. Number five was even larger, and it had better looking body type plus the slicko covers. Six looked very nice, even though it was smaller, and I hated to cut back on the size of that, but there wasn't much we could do about it. But anyway, you know, I'd rather cut back the size of the outpost than to go to electro stenciling, really. Because, you know, once your outpost, once you're offset, and, you know, that's it. I don't know, maybe I'm too much of a perfectionist or whatever, but that's just the way I feel about it. Eight must be offset. Nine will be won't be much of a problem. Okay? I don't know, let me know what you think about that. You know, we were talking last time about science fiction and the Legion, and number 204 was the first story that was really science fiction based in a long time. I kind of liked it, even though, as Rich said in Update, you know, it's kind of bad when the lead story nowadays is only the length of a filler story 10 years ago. It reminded me a lot of a Gardner Fox story, a simplistic Gardner Fox story. And I don't know, maybe the Flash is kind of rubbing off on Carrie, I don't know. I enjoyed the story, though. I think Grell's art was better. It wasn't quite as stiff as it had been previously. Although, Jesus Christ, there were so many swipes in it. There was a Chaikin swipe. I think that was in the Brainiac story. Adams, of course, including something from Warp, I believe. Well, several Adams things, several Cockrum things. He swipes a lot of his anatomy from Gil Kane, and well, whatever. I enjoyed it very much, so I don't know. As for Mike's suggestion that we check over the fiction, you know, send it around before it's printed, yeah, it's a nice idea, and in retrospect, I agree with it, because, you know, like, I kind of hack up Mike's stuff, and I have a feeling mine wouldn't emerge exactly unscathed if I sent it to somebody else. I guess the evils of that are best illustrated by Jack Kirby, who cannot write his way out of a paper bag, and he has no editor there to change things around or to clarify things or anything, and that's why a lot of his stories read pretty badly. Even those concepts are beautiful. Still on Mike here. Marijuana. I think it was Mike who gave this story about the girl who got herself nice and high and then went out and slashed her throat. I don't think you can quite attribute that to marijuana. That girl must have been pretty fucked up in her head to begin with to do something like that. I mean, really, it's, well, I don't want to get into it. However, I do want to take issue with one thing Mike said, which is that beer is cheaper, and high for high, it isn't. It's more expensive. Just a little tidbit there. As for Jay's relevance article, you know, I think, you know, like Mike said, talk to people, and, you know, like, maybe this is something we can do in August, too. You know, you can seek out these people and talk to them. As a matter of fact, while we're out there, we'll probably pick up a few interviews for the Outpost, too, on my own part. But, Jay, you know, talk to those people. Talk to Marvel, too, not to Slifer. I think the best person there, well, Thomas wouldn't talk, I'm sure, because he's too busy. Isabella, I think, would be perfect, because he's such a super Marvel freako, and I'm sure he'd be more than willing to talk to that issue. Perhaps Conway would, too. I don't know if he's in New York, though. I don't know. This idea of black and white and shades of gray, relevance isn't a matter of all white and all black. For that matter, no stories in there of all white and all black. It's shades of gray. I guess that's true. Steve Ditko hates that idea, though. As for Murray, I don't know if he reads The Outpost, really. I think what he does is skims over it. I don't know. There's no way of telling without actually asking him, and even then, he'd probably say, sure, he read every word, just like he did in his latest LOC. I'm sure, Jay, that he knows about page 2, panel 5 of The Silent Death, because I made a point of mentioning it in my LOC. I don't think it'll get us into any trouble. I mean, after all, you know, if you're going to put a fault on it, it's Murray's fault, and we can't blame people for picking up that little thing and mentioning it. I don't think it'll hurt us at all. Yeah, you know, just, I don't even know if he has any idea what we're even talking about, because I called him up 2 weeks ago, right before I was putting together the bulletin page for The Outhouse, because I wanted to get a plot summary of 205, and 204 for that matter, because I hadn't seen it yet. And he couldn't even remember what the hell the plot was for 204, much less 205. He said, well, Harry, you know, it's been months and months since I read those scripts. I really couldn't tell you off the top of my head. I'd have to dig out the script and go over it and then tell you. I don't know. Yeah. I'm up to Jay here. June 20th. Today's July the 2nd. 12 days. This thing, goddamn. 20th for Jay, and then Mercy, and then Rich, and then me. This is going around fast. Jesus. Let's see. I've got a note here. Grell story. Same as what Voland said. I don't even remember what that means. Oh, well. That's for the Aquaman story. This is funny, too. Well, first of all, Jay, you made a big deal about pronunciation and everything. You missed one thing. The person who wrote the last subby, and he's writing Aquaman now, his name is not Steve Skeets. It's Steve Skates, you know, as in Roller Maidens. Remember that? Somebody told me about that Aquaman story being tied into the Submariner story before it happened. I don't remember who it was. It wasn't Leighton. And, you know, this is the thing. Leighton, he's a good artist and everything, and, he's just absolutely a great guy. But he's not particularly too intelligent. At least comics-wise. Especially DC-wise. I mean, he's kind of a Marvel freak himself. And a Legion freak, in a way. But, he was kind of an understudy under Dan Adkins when Dan Adkins drew that last Submariner story, when he still lived in East Liverpool, Ohio. He's out in Phoenix, Arizona now. But Leighton was out there with Adkins for 2 weeks picking up some pointers and everything. And he even helped out on that Submariner story. He drew all the little bubbles all the way through it, for what it's worth. He doesn't know much about DC, and he didn't even notice that Submariner reference there. It's weird, I don't know. Jay said somebody made a reference about our letter column and the fact that we just run big names, and there seems to be a question, do we do it just for the sake of running big names in our letter column to boost our circulation conceivably or whatever? You can tell whoever put forward that theory damn right. I'm not going to throw out an Irene Vartanoff letter or a Tony Isabella letter or a Mort Weisinger letter or a Dave Cockermere just to put in some little piece of crap that some other kid sends in. It's crazy. Of course I'm going to run the big names. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think the stuff they say is going to be intrinsically more interesting to our readers anyway. I guess, so I haven't seen TCR yet, but Leighton has, and he said they mentioned Irene Vartanoff is now Roy's editorial assistant. That's kind of a turnabout. I want to meet her when we go to New York, too. I've got to meet her. Mitchell Medi thing. I should have mentioned this before, too. He no longer has the highest priced comic book on the market. There's something in the Indianapolis News, which is the other paper here in Indianapolis. I'm working for the Star. They had a little story and a picture last week, and I've got it in my folder here. Let me see if I can find it. And I'll read it to you. Let's see. Oh, boy. We have to clean this out. Come on. No, it's not here. Oh, I know it's in here somewhere. While I'm looking, you may listen to the record. I have a record on now, and it's by Queen. It's an English group. Hang on, I'm going to shut this off. Okay, this is from the Indianapolis News, Thursday, June the 27th, 1974. It was on page 5, and actually all it was a photo with a cut line here. Dateline Houston. Burrell Rowe, that's B-U-R-R-E-L, his last name is R-O-W-E. Burrell Rowe reads a copy of a 1939 issue of Superman, for which he paid, get this, $2,000. Quote, I started up with 100 comics I bought for a dime a piece, unquote, he said. Today, the price has gone up considerably. This guy looks like he's maybe 22 or 23, wire rims, a little bit chubby, mustache, and he has on a shirt and tie. That's incredible. I would never, ever pay much for any comic, no matter what I wanted, no matter how much I wanted it. And it's not just the fact I can't afford it, it's just a matter of principle. Jay, tell me more. You mentioned in your letter to me when you sent the Mady interview But you're doing update for the journal now. What exactly is your relationship with the journal, number one? Number two, do you think you can wangle us a free ad? I hope so. Yeah. You know, I did like your Jay again. I did like the thing you sent the outhouse, and that was weird. My father had a big laugh over it too, and it reminds me of something I got into a strange habit of doing about a year and a half ago. I was writing these asinine little rhymes on the addresses and return addresses of the letters I'd be writing to the outpost people. Matter of fact, I think just about each one of you probably got one or more of those. And that was also during the time when I had a bad habit of sending stuff postage due, something which I've gotten out of by now. Anyway, it was things like, you know, return address, Harry C. Broges, very close to dead, 1865 Sherman Avenue, where I lay my head, Evanston, Illinois, something or other, but, you know, it rhymed with dead, and, you know, 60201, postman, get out the lead. And this happened, I think, with Margie once and with somebody else another time. The letter was sent postage due, and right underneath that, the postman wrote, "Fine, just give me the bread, or give us the bread." Yeah, very strange. Very unusual. But universe is the specter live in. I haven't the slightest idea now, even though Orlando said Earth 1, because if you look at the latest story in Adventure, Jim Corrigan makes some snide references to that. Freelance reporter calls him Clark Kent and all that, and he comes to the scene of the crime, and the reporter's tagging along with him, and he calls him Clark Kent again, and some nearby cop turns to him and says, "Gee, are you really Superman?" So if that's the case, I don't know if it could be Earth One, except, I mean, realistically, everybody must know Superman is Clark Kent by now anyway on that Earth, because, my God, you know, there must have been 4 dozen stories in which Superman's secret identity was supposedly revealed, and Clark Kent was supposedly the secret identity. I don't know, there could be any doubt in people's minds. Maybe that cop was just a nut who actually believed it or something. Star Trek. Two Saturdays ago, something must have been the matter with my body or something, but on a Saturday morning, I actually woke up in time to catch the last half of the animated show. This was the one with Harry Mudd and those love and hate capsules and everything. Blug. That show absolutely sucks. Just from what I saw of it, I hate it. I really do. You'll make of that as you will. I'll have to try to find that new Star Trek book, though, since, Jay, you recommend it so highly. You mentioned that the guy who wrote it has a tendency to be long-winded, just like me, and since you said he's a very good writer, I'm going to take that as kind of a backhanded compliment. As for the combined issue, I'm just skipping around here now. The combined issue, here's what we have set up so far, and this is subject to change. Leighton is already, as I'm speaking, out in New York for the con. He's staying with Roland right now. Sterno's going out tomorrow. I wish I could go. I really do. What we have tentatively planned right now, if we can work these details out, and Duffy and Bob are going to be working on this while they're out there. The thing tentatively is 36 pages, including cover. The whole thing will be done wraparound. The wraparound cover will be by Mike Grell, with inside art by Cockrum, hopefully from his portfolio, or something new. Something by Joe Staten, a Legionnaire, and there shouldn't be any problem with that, the way everybody at Charlton is going into multiple orgasms over the portfolio. John Byrne article in art. This has to do with Darkseid. A 6-page sci-fi strip drawn by Staten. That's already, that and the John Byrne thing are already in for sure. Would like to get something from Walt Simonson if we could, and the consensus among us between me and Bob and Sterno is that we'd like to see him do The Shadow just for the hell of it. The book is dead now, but I'd like to, we'd all like to see a Simonson Shadow, and so, you know, we may just put that in, I don't know. There probably will be a Joe Sinnott Thorin Galactus, which is alright, because, you know, if the whole issue, if it's not going to be Legion, it'll at least have a science fiction tone, so, you know, I don't think we'll have to worry too much about the whole thing seeming to be a mishmash of everything. But anyway, Leighton has all these contacts with artists, and he's paying for all the art, too. You know, we aren't getting all this pro art for free by a long shot, but he's paying for it. And so he's more or less the art director of this issue, and I'm taking care of the articles. Or we're going to have this, you know, at least the regular, something by me, something by Sterno, Mike's My Place, or an article, update, probably by Jay. I'd like to, Rich, I'd like you to do an article on something or other, if you would. Sterno, like I said, will do an article, probably Larry Bernicke will do something. Couple other things. Anyway, the whole thing should fill up pretty quickly. So, anyway, you know, the whole thing will firm up after Bob gets back from the July con, so I'll keep you posted on that. I do recommend two things. First, that you buy the Charlton portfolio, and you'll find the details on the bulletin sheet. That thing is excellent. It's beautiful. And if they send a copy to critique, the Rockets Blast to be reviewed. And if Mark Burby reviews it, and he doesn't give it a 9 or a 10, I'm personally going to go down to Florida and kill that little prick. That, and also order the next issue of CPL, the regular 50-cent issue, because Sterno has an article in there on how Cary Bates invented streaking. And think back through your old Flash issues, and you'll see what I mean. You realize this is, I think, tape V or whatever. We've got about 20 hours worth of tapes already. Jay, as long as you're saving them, save them. I don't know, 20 years from now we're going to go back and we're going to have either a big laugh or a big cry over all this. I don't know which. Fandom parody. Jay, go ahead and start in on it if you want. My worry right now is, number one, we do not have the financial resources to put this thing out. And before we even do anything serious on it, I'd like to have some idea of how many we can sell, which means something a little bit more than just running an ad and waiting for the orders to roll in. You know, we could get hundreds of orders, or we could get like 40 that Rich got for Batmania. And, you know, I don't think, at least to my own way of thinking, I don't think there's any point in doing all this work if we're not going to actually do the thing. Although, as you said, we could probably run a lot of it in the outpost or outhouse or whatever. I like your idea for it, though, you know, with the story and then the fanzine parody and then a couple other things. However, the other thing is, if we do this, it's going to have to be something more than an Outpost Executives production. I mean, that's all there is to it. We're going to have to bring some outside people in. How we're going to do that, I don't know. I'm going to try to get Dwight Decker's address and a few other people, and I think I may be able to interest Sterno in it, too. So, see how that goes. Might be nice to put Super Sperm in it. However, right now I'm inclining towards just doing it separately. See, the thing is this, we can do this thing as a 12-pager printed wraparound, 200 copies, and it would cost about $50, which means each one of us could put up $10 and get the damn thing printed. If we could sell it, say, for, 50 cents a copy, or 35 cents, or 40 a copy, whatever, and if we can unload all 200, we will have made a little bit of a profit. then we might be able to go ahead with the other things. Well, it deserves some thought. How much does Marty Pascoe make writing stories? Right now he makes $14 a page, which means, like, for a six-page Adam story, he gets $84. Which isn't quite as much as it sounds, because I figure he has to go through the hassle of, you know, thinking up plots, sending them in to Julie, having half of them rejected, the other half modified quite severely, and, you know, just all the alleged heartache that goes through that, through with that. Elliot Magan makes $20 a page right now. I think Mike can verify that. Carol Strickland's address. I'll get back to that in a minute. I have it here somewhere. Rock and Roll Fanzines. The only thing I want to say about that is, as for David's Girls, that fanzine, somebody said, I guess I'm up to mercy now. Probably David Cassidy. I don't know, but I kind of doubt that. Or I don't know, maybe I'm just kind of jaded about the whole thing. I don't think anybody would put out anything for David Cassidy, especially if they're on par with these T-Rex freakos. The first thing that came into my mind was David Johansen of New York Dolls. It's possible, I don't know. Different Strokes, etc. Yeah, I must have run through Mercy pretty quick there. Rich, I'm sending 50 cents off for Batmania right away. Hurry with my copy. I'm surprised you got done so soon, because it was just... The way you were talking before, it's just kind of a glimmer in the back of your mind, and not much had really happened with it. I'm glad that you are able to get it out so soon. I wish I could do the same with The Outpost. Rich, you mentioned that I like Prez. You and about 18 million other people have that misconception, I guess from the CPL article. I do not like Prez. I didn't like Prez. What I was saying in that article, I was not listing the five best comic stories, or five best comic books of the year. I made a point of mentioning this in the article. Apparently, Rich, you missed it. Judging from the LOCs that Bob has received on that issue, other people misinterpreted that. Mark Burby, when he reviewed that issue of CPL, misinterpreted it and said I was writing about the five best comics. Maybe I wasn't vehement enough about it in the article. I was not talking about the best. I was talking about the most original books. I think Prez is original. It's not particularly a swipe from Wild in the Streets. I mean, if you've ever seen that movie, you know what I mean. It's original in the sense that the Geek was original. And, you know, after all, Prez is nothing but a continuation of the Geek anyway. No, I didn't like it. I have that Supergirl book here. I haven't even read it yet. I haven't read either of the stories, and I don't know if I'll ever get around to it. I don't know if I want to read them. Those Bob Kaniger stories are just, yeah, such total shit. And I don't know. You know, remember a long time ago, Carrie said that Jack Kirby is a hack. I think if anybody is a hack, it's Carrie. I mean, all he needs is for an editor to tell him, write this, and he'll write it. Bob Kaniger came up to him one day last year, and he said, Carrie, I want you to write a Supergirl story featuring Prez. Carrie said, okay. He sat down and wrote it. I don't know. Oh, Rich, you're right about Eve Doremus. I never even thought of that when I got that book. I have to write an article on this sometime soon, either for The Outpost or CPL. That's interesting. Maybe I can talk to Julie about Gardner Fox when we're out in New York. I don't know. No, I can't, because Pasco told me Julie's going to be on vacation when we're out there. For that matter, so's Pasco. Here's a little glimmer of a thing that I believe all four of you will probably be interested in.
there is a chance right now that, how'd you, well, let me put it this way. How would you like to work on Etc.? I already talked about this to Jay. There seems right now to be an excellent chance that Leighton and I will be able to revive Paul Levitz's and Paul Kupperberg's old Etc. Come out with Etc. number 4 now. I'll know for sure when I hear from Bob at the con. And this will be a combined CPL gang and Outpost publication. Should be very, very nice. And they still have a lot of stuff left over from the old Etc., which would go right into it. So it's something to think over. I'm looking forward to it, if we can work it out. And I think there'll be places for all of us in it, too. See, the thing is, Etc. was always article-heavy anyway, which kind of is more to my tastes right now anyway, so I don't care. And in that vein, I believe Tom Sagan wrote for Etc. for a little bit, and Rich, I'm glad he's doing something for Batmania. I would like very much to have him do something for the combined issue, so send me his address, would you please, and see what turns out with that. And Rich, you mentioned the Legion magazine, and could I send you my copy of it to look over? I don't have my copy of it anymore. I think a long time ago, Mike can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I believe I sent it to Mike a long time ago.